is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. You can't judge a book by its cover, but let's face it, many of us do look at the author photo on the dust jacket when we're browsing in a bookstore deciding whether to buy the book. So imagine the pressure on the author to look great in the photo. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Marion Ettlinger, a photographer famous in the book world for her author photos. First, we hear some of the misadventures of an author getting photographed for the jacket of his first book. John Searles is the author of the novel Boy Still Missing, which came out in hardcover last year and was published in paperback this year. It's a coming-of-age story set in 1971. Although this is Searles' first book, he's an insider in the book world. He's book editor at Cosmopolitan magazine. If you want to see the photos we're about to talk about, check out our website, freshair.com. Okay, when you started the process of getting a photo for your book jacket, how much did you care about the picture?
I mean, I wanted it to look nice, but I didn't care half as much as HarperCollins did, to get the truth.
Now, why did they care so much?
They had all this criteria. They wanted me to look inviting and photogenic and attractive and sexy, and I just wanted to actually smile and not have my acne scar show up in the photo.
Now, why do you think it's important to be attractive and sexy, you know, from your publishing company's point of view, if you're a writer?
Well, they think in today's media-focused, media-obsessed society, it helps get you on TV and in magazines and newspapers because they'll run your photo. So they want you to look as good as possible.
What were your issues when you started to make the rounds of photographers?
Well, my first photographer was my mother, actually. I asked her to take a photo of me. So, you know, my whole life, we've taken our photos in the front yard by the stone wall with this fir tree. That's where I stood for my communion, my prom, my graduation. That was the spot where you stood for special occasions. So, you know, I went and got some film for the Kodak, and my mom and I stood up front. I stood by the stone wall, and she snapped away, and we developed it, and I found one I thought that looked good, and I sent it off to my publisher, and I got a call a week later from my publicist who said, about your author's photo. No. So she didn't like it.
Did she tell you why?
Yeah, she said I needed something that made me look more authoritative and, you know, more attractive, and something just a little bit more authorial.
So what was the next approach?
So then I enlisted the help of my friend Stacy, who I waited tables with for 12 years. And when I wanted to be a writer, she wanted to be a photographer. So I thought, how fitting that, you know, she'll take my author's photo. So we set about taking my photo, and we drove around to find different backdrops. I remember she took me by the sea, and she took me by this barn and by a tree, and we were just all over the place all day. And we had 12 rolls of film, and we picked a few shots, and I sent them off to my publisher, and then they called me and said, no, that they're too long-faced. And then I remember my publicist's assistant said, think of Sebastian Younger's photo. You need to look like him. And I said, I look nothing like Sebastian Younger. I mean, I have, you know, he's sort of this dark, brooding macho man, and I have, you know, brown hair and blue eyes and light skin, and we just don't look at all alike. But she said, it's not really Sebastian Younger so much as the essence of Sebastian Younger. And I remember saying, that sounds like a cologne for sailors.
So what was the next approach?
So then they sent me, well, then I realized, you know, I'm also the books editor at Cosmopolitan magazine. And I thought, wait a minute, I work at a magazine. I have, you know, all these photographers I can enlist to help me. So I asked the photo editor to hook me up with a photographer. So they sent me to a Cosmo photo shoot, which was in downtown Manhattan at Chelsea Piers. And I remember the night before, I got a phone call from the stylist, Clyde, who said, oh, he's just this crazy, kooky, funny guy, who said, okay, what kind of ensembles do you have? And I said, ensembles? And he said, well, look in your closet and tell me what you have, because otherwise I can call in some Dolce & Gabbana for you. And I said, it's just an author's photo. I don't think you need to call in any Dolce & Gabbana clothes for me. So I looked in my closet, and I told him, you know, well, I have some flannel shirts, some denim shirts. And he said, well, do you have a suit? And at the time, I just had one suit. It was a black suit from Country Road. And I told him that, and he seemed disappointed. He said, well, throw it in a bag, and I'll send a messenger over, and I'll have it steamed for you first thing in the morning.
So how did the Cosmo shoot go?
Well, so the next day I show up at the studio, and they, you know, it was another photo shoot in progress for Cosmopolitan. So they sit me down next to this, you know, beautiful, skinny model who's eating strawberries and smoking cigarettes. And as they, you know, start cutting my hair, she starts regaling me of tales about her South American bodybuilder motorcycle riding boyfriend and their breakup and their relationship. And so then the hairdresser comes over and says, "How do you like your hair?" And I said, "You know, I like my bangs to kind of come down over my forehead." And she said, "Okay," and then promptly cut off my bangs that come down over my forehead. And I was upset, but she said, "Trust me, baby, it'll look fabulous."
Did it look so fabulous?
I didn't think so, but they did. It was sort of one of those Caesar cuts, and I just wasn't used to it. But I think these photographers and stylists were so used to, they're so used to dealing with models and these, you know, beautiful freaks of nature that they didn't know what to do with an ordinary person like myself. And so next up was the makeup, and then the makeup artist found out I was the books editor at Cosmopolitan as well as a novelist, and she started telling me about a beauty book that she had an idea for that an editor stole and made millions of dollars on. So as she was telling me this story, she was getting more and more angry and was taking it out of my face, putting more and more layers of foundation and powder on me until I was a brilliant, bright shade of orange and looked like I had just stepped out of a 9-hour session in a tanning bed. So then Clyde said, "You know, it's your baby, you're on," and called me over to the stool, which is in front of this all-white backdrop. And I remember, you know, I'm not used to having my photo taken, so I feel self-conscious. I'm not a model or anything. So I remember the photographer's assistant, the makeup artist's assistant, the stylist and the stylist's assistant, and the board models all came and stood around as I was getting my photo taken. And Clyde unbuttoned my shirt just about down to the middle of my stomach, almost to my belly button, yanked the collars of my shirt out so I looked like a 747 about to take flight. And I said, "You know, I don't really feel comfortable." And he said, "Shush, you. It's very 70s Playboy. Just roll with it." So then he spread my legs from east to west and said, "Look into the camera and show them what you've got." So I felt very uncomfortable. And finally I said, "You know, I just don't think this is working for me." And I remember the photographer, in a last-ditch effort to try to get me to feel comfortable, said, "Just think, John Updike. Think John Updike." And I said, "You know, John Updike's a great writer, but I don't really think he has the look we're going for here."
No, he certainly doesn't.
So then I pulled my collar in and buttoned up my shirt. And then I remember one of the models said, "Well, think about that guy. Who's that guy who wrote the book about the storm?" And someone said, "Oh, that guy is so hot. I love him." And so once again, I felt, you know, second to Sebastian Junger when it came to photography.
No, it sounds like this is one of those shoots where you show up and they have like a wardrobe for you, and they dress you, they change your hair, they change your look, and then you wonder, like, if a reader wants to see you and see what you look like, you're not going to see who you are at all. They're going to see who somebody has made you into being temporarily for this photograph.
Exactly. I felt like it looked nothing like me, and in the photo, you know, my sleeves are rolled up, my shirt's buttoned down, my collar is flared. We didn't end up using this photo, but I just remember it looked nothing like me. And thankfully, my publisher agreed, so we didn't use it. And then I was sent to my last and final session with another photographer who finally got the photo they wanted, which actually, I don't even love so much. I think I look like Katie Lang in it, but they like it. So,
let me ask you to describe the actual photo that's on your book.
Okay. I'm wearing a suit, a black suit with a black sweater, so it's very dark. And the photographer thought I looked vaguely like Michael J. Fox, and so she kept trying to say, "Show me more Michael." And so I didn't really know how to do that. And I have one wisp of hair that comes down. That I always have a cowlick, and so that they left this hair because they like the effect, but I think that adds to the KD effect. But they thought I looked sincere and attractive and inviting was what they said.
Are you happy with it?
I'm happy enough. But you know what, Terry, by the time I was done, I was just so happy that finally they liked something and I could just, you know, stop this foolishness and go back to writing.
If I saw this photo and then ran into you on the street, would I recognize you from the photo?
I think you would, yeah. I mean, it doesn't, unlike the one that I took at the Cosmopolitan shoot, this one does look like me. I'm a little bit brooding when in real life I think I'm a little bit, you know, lighter and happier than this photo, but it does look like me.
What are some of the different kinds of places you've seen your author photo reproduced?
Well, I think it was reproduced in People magazine when they did a review on me, and and Time Magazine named me a person to watch, and I think they did the author's photo there. So that was kind of fun seeing it in, you know, in big magazines like that. And also sort of jarring at the same time to open a magazine and there's little me. And bookstore windows, when I did a signing at Barnes & Noble, you know, friends would call me all excited and say, you know, my photo was in the window of the store. And so I would go down with my boyfriend and he'd force me to stand in front of the window as he snapped dozens of pictures of me standing in front of a picture of myself. And that I was so self-conscious about, Terry, because I'm standing on a crowded New York City street, I think on 6th Avenue, and so many people are walking by. And there I am standing in front of a picture of myself. I felt ridiculous, but he said I would thank him later.
Now, you're not only an author, but you're the senior books editor at Cosmo.
Yes.
So you have to help decide what books are going to be reviewed.
Exactly.
Do you often look at the dust jacket photo to evaluate whether this book is worthy of your attention?
You know, I do look at them, I must admit, right away. And I've been sent so many funny ones over the years. I remember there was this one. I get sent everything, even if it's not appropriate for Cosmo. I was sent this one gay novel, and I remember that the author was posed on top of a cannon. So the cannon was coming out from between his legs. And I remember saying to the person I work with, is he trying to get a date or sell his book? I'm not quite sure.
So in what ways are you influenced by the author photo on the dust jacket?
Well, you know, if somebody looks like they're trying too hard, to be honest, it just kind of bugs me when they're overposed or they just look like they're just trying too hard. I like a simple photo where someone looks sincere and interesting. But, you know, for example, Danielle Steele, her books are sent to me. And it's just funny in each of her books, if she tries to have a photo done that matches the topic of the book. So if the book is set in a Western sort of cowboy setting, she's wearing a cowboy hat and standing by a horse. You know, so she does, each photo matches the topic of the book. And, you know, I get sent these fitness books, and the fitness books, there's always a woman in a leotard doing a Wonder Woman sort of pose or a guy flexing his biceps. And so it's just funny to note the things that people will do. And I was recently sent a novel about fishing, and the author was standing in the middle of a stream with waders and holding a fishing pole. And it's just, you can't help but look.
Yeah. So what are you going to do for your next book? I don't mean the book. I just mean the photo.
Okay. Clearly, I don't have a say in the matter, so I wish I could tell you. They'll probably decide. But I would like to maybe just use the same photo so I don't have to go through this again. But, you know, I'm up for it. I laughed at it, and it just became another funny story I told people about the whole crazy experience of being published. And honestly, I dreamed of being a writer ever since I was a kid. And so the fact that people wanted to take my picture for a book, how can I complain about that? You know, it's better than waiting tables, which I did for 12 years. So
No, I don't mean to seem very shallow because, you know, we're talking about your photograph and not the book. But this program is specifically about authors' photos.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I think you should have a chance to tell our listeners what your book is about.
The book is set in the early 70s, and the main character is a 15-year-old boy who becomes infatuated with his father's mistress. And they get into a sexually charged relationship that leads to this grisly accidental death that he feels responsible for. So it's part coming-of-age story, part thriller, actually, too, because it's lots of twists and turns and surprises. And I wanted it to be the kind of compelling novel that kept you turning pages. And I hope I did that.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much. It was a real honor to be on your show, Terry.
John Searles is the author of Boys Still Missing and is book editor at Cosmopolitan Magazine. You can see his photographs on our website, freshair.com. This is Fresh Air.